we want to talk about the significance of Elul, then we'll start with a citation from the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, which is cited by the Tor Shulchan Aruch at the very beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. It's in the Tav Kuf Pei Aleph. Tanya Rabbi Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Rosh Chodesh Elul, Omra HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. Rosh Chodesh Elul was a day of significance because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam addressed Moshe Rabbeinu, and he tells him, Alei Elai Ahara, come back up to the mountain a second time. Shows Olo L'Kabbal Luchos Achroinus, meaning for the second descent of Kabbalah's Haluchos. I don't want to get into how many times Moshe went up, two times, three times, whatever, though it's all discussed in the Rishayim. But the second time that he went to obtain luchos, and this is on Rosh Chodesh Elul, shows Olo L'Kabbal Luchos Achroinus. Vaviru Shayfu B'machane, and he wanted to make sure that everyone was very clear when exactly Moshe Rabbeinu went up. There should be no confusion. And they blew the Shayfu in the Machane, and they announced, Moshe Olo L'Har. Moshe has gone up to the mountain today. And this is Shalom Yitu Oyed Achar Avodah Zarah, to make sure that there should not be a similar transgression of Avodah Zarah took place the first time, when it resulted in the catastrophic incident of the eagle. That's where he begins. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nis'aleh Ba'Eis HaShayfar, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was praised, we may say, Nis'aleh, glorified through the shofar. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu glorified through the shofar? So as the preacher tells us, Ki al yodai nimnu militus achar v'edazor. There was quite shamayim that we took precautions that we should not come to violate v'edazor, and therefore we blew the shofar, and thereby this was a matter of quite shamayim, because we showed our sensitivity to the covenant of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to make sure that Chalila, we should not again become involved in Avodah Zarah, and therefore we blew the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul.
But it really didn't help for the first time, because the first time was a matter that the Moshe did count the first day, and they did count the first day.
So whatever, so the second time apparently they made sure, they gave, you know, by giving, they made a clearer system of how this was going to work. L'cheinis kinu chazal sh'yutaykin b'Rosh Chodesh Elul b'chol shonu b'shonu. Chazal instituted that we should blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul in every year. V'chol ha'chodesh, and we blow shofar the entire month of Elul, k'dei l'hazer Yisrael sh'yasa tshuva, so that we should remind Klal Yisrael that this is the time to do tshuva. Shenemar, and he cites the Novi and Amos, and Mitoka Shofar Bayeo Bohem of Om No Yechrodu. Ukidei, and a further reason, La'arva Sotan, to cause confusion for the Sotan. It's a very deep philosophical concept, which is not for today, but to generate confusion about exactly when the Yom Hadin is. Vichainoyagin, Ba'ashkenaz, in the middle in Germany, was the Skaya B'chol Boikav Erev. Acharat Tvila. Every morning and Arab and night, after the Tvila, twice a day, the blue shofar. V'yesh mishomar ben loymar slichos tachnunim rosh chodesh elul ve'elach. And there are those that have the practice that they begin the recitation of the Slichos, which is in fact the Sephardim, the minhag of the Sephardim, that they begin the recitation of Slichos from Rosh Chodesh Elul. And there are more sites that v'chein ha-minhag rak shein toiken rak b'shachris. The minhag is that we only blow at shachris. We don't blow more than once a day. That's what the Rambam tells us. Now, this is a very confusing piece, this citation. And the Beis Yosef starts an analysis of this piece of the Torah. The Torah started off when we blew shofar on Rosh Chodesh to mark the ascent of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he tells us, he goes on, and therefore we go show him a cholachaydish, and lahazi yisor shiyasu tshuva. Now, ikonomedak, shekvar hevi raya mishayfa, shetiku b'midbar. He already mentioned the fact that we blew shofar in the midbar. Why does he need the pasuk of yimitok ha-shofar b'yir in terms of the shofar of Elul? Even though we didn't sin, it's not because the shofar has any significance in the process of tshuva. Suppose they would have gone around and made an announcement every day. That also would have prevented them from sinning. So why bedafker we blow the shofar? L'kachayvim em yitoka shofar ba'ir ba'am l'och yechrodu t'bashma shekol shofar gurum l'hachvir o'onu mipachar Hashem mihadar goyinay. So that indicates that shofar is a normative step in the process of tshuva. It brings a person greater cognizance of the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So from the perspective, the way the Beis Yosef looks at it, apparently they blew shofar throughout the entire month of Elul, and that would be sufficient reason that we should blow shofar during the month of Elul, just to commemorate the process by which Klal Yisrael prevented a repetition of the Egel Azov. But that would not necessarily indicate that in the Zman of Tshuva this has really any significance. In other words, merely to be a commemorative factor, perhaps we wouldn't bother with it. So therefore, the Torah goes on to tell us, according to the Beis Yosef, that Shofar plays instrumental in the process of Tshuva too. And therefore, it's worthy that at this time of the year we should blow the Shofar on each of the days of Elul. So, therefore, that's his approach. The others that have a slightly different approach to the matter, and the way they learn is, in Tomar Vakati Kosher, the Prisha tells us that why do we blow the whole month? It would suffice that we blow on Rosh Chodesh Elul to commemorate that, how which the step that they took. So from his perspective, he wants to learn that the Zikaron for that which took place in the second time Moshe Rabbeinu ascends the Har, that would suffice in Rosh Chodesh Elul. There would be no need to proceed without the entire through the entire month of Elul. Well, the Azem Mishanek Gedei LaHazer, and therefore, why do we extend it throughout the whole month of Elul? Is Vayisim Mechala Chodesh Ken La'irer Ala Tshuva. We wish to arouse Klal Yisrael to Tshuva. The Havu Eis Rotzon, the Moshe Aliyos Lufas Achrenes. This became an Eis Rotzon. Moshe Rabbeinu was successful, and the Rabbeinu Shalom, in the culmination of this process, is the Rabbeinu Shalom says Solachti Kidborech on Yom Kippur. So Moshe Rabbeinu successfully pleaded the case of Klal Yisrael in these days, and therefore that is why the Shulchan Aruch goes on to tell us that the practice arose to recite the Slichas as well during the month of Elul, because what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu is not only a historical fact, but this created the reality as well. That since Moshe Rabbeinu, what they became through the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu and his avodah Yimei Rotzen, they remain throughout history Yimei Rotzen, special times that we complete our case before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And therefore, Elul, even though tshuva is an imperative throughout the year, there's no mitzvah to wait to Chodesh Elul to do tshuva. The Gemara tells us, if we see a Talmud Chacham sin, then we should imagine by the next morning that he did tshuva already. Because a person that is a truly pious person would not want to even leave one day go by when he's not consistent in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It'll bring himself back into harmony with the way this Hashem. But so what's unique about Elul? What's unique about Elul is that it's a time that it's most efficacious to do tshuva. It's Yimei Rotzon, a special zman where the Rabbeinu Shalom and the Muslim were willing to accept us. The gates of heaven are more open than they typically are. So we blow the shofar on Elul is to underscore the fact that this is Yimei Rotzon as a special zman for tshuva. And we blow the shofar, in fact, not only to underscore that, but the shofar, in fact, is an inspiration for tshuva as well. So, if we wish to start off with the halacha of Elul, so we start with the halacha in the Torah. The Torah tells us that Elul is a unique zman in terms of our ability to be able to do tshuva. And therefore, we Ashkenazim blow the shofar throughout the month of Elul. Among the Sfarim, they arise at Chatzos Laila. And they both blow the shofar and they recite Slichas. I've been a number of times with Sfarim at Slichas during Chodesh Elul. And interspersed in the Slichas, they blow the shofar. The Rabbeinu Yoina, in the second Shah of the Shah Tshuva, talks about different possibilities for Tshuva. Obviously, the best of all the possibilities of Tshuva is if a person wakes up on any day in the middle of the year and he decides to do Tshuva, told with total self-motivation, the highest Madriga of Tshuva. But he says there are varied situations in life which can arouse a person to do Tshuva. And one of them, in the Derech HaChamishis, tells us, is Baseres Yimei Tshuva. That in the Aseres Yimei Tshuva itself, Hayore Yezdvar Hashem, one that truly fears the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Libo Yochol B'Kirba, his heart pounds within him. B'Daito Shekol Maisa B'Seifin Echtovim, because he has a realization that all his actions are recorded. U'Va'Eisa Hi Olakim Yovi B'Mishpat, his Kol Masa, everything that we've done are Kol Nelam. Even things that we've long forgotten in Toivim Ra. As we know, Ki Adam Nidam Bar Rosh Hashanah, Ugzardin Shalo Nechtam B'Yom HaKippur. Now, so here in the Shara Sheini, Rabbeinu Yonah talks about the inspiration of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. That's a zman that a person finds himself aroused to do tshuva. But rather interestingly, Rabbeinu Yonah himself in Sefer HaYira writes, near the end of Sefer HaYira, that Shlomo HaMelech wrote L'kol Zman Beis L'chol Chayfut Tachas HaShemayim. Everything has its season and its time. The Simcha, exuberance is for Purim. A person eats, drinks, and celebrates, but he should be careful that it should be done in a manner, he says, which is consistent with the Torah and the Shem Shemayim. Mishenichnes Ov is Mematin B'Simcha. That's a time to draw back from celebration. And then he goes on. A third example of this in the Jewish calendar is Mishenichnes Elul, from the time that Elul comes, Ad Motzei Yom HaKippurim, Yehi Yorei V'Chorei Me'im HaSadin. A person should tremble from consideration of the Din, which is forthcoming before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So whereas in the Shari Tshuva he only talks about the period of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, in Sefer HaYira he says the reality is that this Emas HaDin, this concern for the process of Din, should begin. That's also seasonal. In the full impact in which we feel it in Elul, and that should come from Mishenichnes Elul, from the beginning of Chodesh Elul. At the beginning of Chodesh Elul we should be possessed with the fact that we're closing in on the Yom HaDin. That there's only 1 month left in the calendar to put the entire year into order. So this is consistent with the teaching of Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, that we begin the blowing of the Shofar. So, and this really is in two regards. Why do we particularly do tshuva on Yom Kippur. So the Rabbi Yonah writes that there's a special mitzvah to say in the Torah to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. And that's the pasuk that we read in Parshas Achrim, Lifnei Hashem Titoru. And that's referring to the day of Yom Kippur. And on the day of Yom Kippur, we're supposed to undergo a process of tahara. And it's a specific and unique mitzvah to say of tshuva, which applies to Yom Kippur. The Rambam in the Yad writes that Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva, but he does not cite the pasuk of Lifnei Hashem Titoru, but rather he says because this is the end of the process of the din, and therefore a person has to arouse himself and inspire himself to do tshuva at this time, but it does not cite the pasuk of Lifnei Hashem Titoru. So Rav Gifta Zatzal feels that it's quite clear that there's a machlokas of the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Yonah. I mean, others have disagreed, but my personal view is in accordance with Rav Gifter's understanding, because the Rambam does not at all cite the pasuk of Lifnei Hashem Titoru, and the Rambam has a whole spiel that this is the sof zman of Mechilas Avodos, and therefore a person has to do tshuva. So according to the Rambam, the reason that we have to use Yom Kippurim is because time is running out. It's an imperative to do tshuva. The door is closing. If you have to make a deposit in the bank, it's for your mortgage payment. The bank, it's 5 to 4. The bank is closing 4 o'clock. So you can't stand outside with your friend and schmooze for the next 15 minutes. You have a mortgage payment that's going into the bank tomorrow, and you have to cover it. So that's it. A whole month you could have gone. A whole day, a week you could have gone. A whole day you could have gone. Now it's 5 to 4. In 5 more minutes they're going to come, and they're going to close, lock the door, and that's it. So long. So that's it. So now you're a person, if you're a bardas, a person of intelligence, that's it. You drop everything, and you run to the bank and race inside before they lock the door. When they lock the door, I should be inside, and I'll make the deposit. So that's the Rambam's view. Tshuva, the gate is slamming closed, and we have an imperative, we have to do tshuva. And there's a din. So how could we just sit by, unmoved, uninspired? It's the Rambam's view of tshuva. Rabbi Yonah talks about there's a special zman for tshuva, Lifnei Hashem Titoru. And the truth is, in Elul, we really have both components. In one sense, as the Prisha tells us, that these are the days of Yimei Rotzon. Because Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded before the Rabbeinu Shalom successfully. And through the tefillahs of Moshe, through his process of tshuva on behalf of Klal Yisrael and his tefillahs, these became Yimei Rotzon. So it's similar to the notion of the Rabbeinu Yonah. These are special days that are most appropriate to do tshuva. But there's also the Rambam's notion as well. Besides that, Yom HaDin is coming. And on Yom HaDin we have to show up and show what we're about. So whatever we did the entire year, 11 months went by this year, 12 months went by, and every year, but Rosh Hashanah is on the way. The gate's about to slam down. So how are we going to look? They're going to haul us in before the Shofet. Right? Melech Elyon. We're going to appear before him. How are we going to look? So it's imperative that we clean up the act. That when the ring open, the gates of heaven, on Yom HaDin, that we look like we belong there. So both of the notions, the notion of Rabbeinu Yonah's notion of tshuva on Yom Kippur, of Lifnei Hashem Titoru, it's a special zman, particularly for tshuva. And the Rambam, just the imperative, the zman is ending. So the mo'ach shavei mosai, both are true of Elul. Elul is a zman of rot, and Eis Rotzen, as the Prisha tells us, a special zman, that we're most likely to succeed. And forgetting that, even if we wouldn't be more likely to succeed, it's the last opportunity. And Sivan, we're going to say, well, we have Tammuz, we have Of, we have Elul, we have time. Now Tammuz ended, Of ended, and now we're up to Elul. By the time this month ends, we're up to Rosh Hashanah. So we don't have time, we can't push it off anymore. Procrastination isn't possible. So this is the notion that we begin our Avodah in the month of Elul. Now I'd like to go a little bit further in the attitude that a person has to bring, that all of us have to bring to Elul. These are described by Rabbi Saul of Salant, that his piety was such, well, we should go back a step. The Yidden of Yerushalayim tell us that if we turn back the clock 60, 70 years and we go to the Shtiblach and Zichron Moshe, when they merely got up to be Mavorach Chodesh Elul, the Shabbos before Elul, the Bechias that came forth from the entire Beis HaKnesses hearing the Chazan say Rosh Chodesh Elul Yiyah, that was already shattering. Elul didn't come yet, Nishkan Rosh Hashanah. They just heard the Chazan and Toin Rosh Chodesh Elul Yiyah, that was enough. Rabbi Saul of Salant, his Talmidim said about him that a whole year he operated on a wavelength that people operate during Elul. And in Elul, he operated on a wavelength which approximates what people do with the Zman of Ne'ilah. His sensitivity to the din. The fact that something has to happen, that we can't stay where we are. And this is what Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to tell us. He says, Ki adam nidim b'rosh Hashanah v'zardin shalom nechtam b'yom HaKippur. We are judged. The beginning of the judgment is Rosh Hashanah. The judgment is sealed on Yom Kippur. He says, let us consider our affairs in this world. A person knows that he has a trial in this world. Let alone if it's a civil trial, where he has something significant that's on the line. How nervous he is, how concerned he is, how focused he is. And let alone if the matter is a criminal matter, and let alone if it's a capital case. A person is overwhelmed with fear. And he seeks every manner of salvation. And in all manner of activity. He hurries to find a haven for himself. He wouldn't imagine for a moment that he's going to get distracted. He doesn't have time to deal with petty things. His life is on the line. He forgets about his business, he forgets about his family, he forgets about everything. He's possessed. He doesn't worry if his field, the agriculture that he has to oversee, is in the best shape or not. Well, the Yifner Derach Kromim, he doesn't go to investigate his vineyards to see the state of that business. Well, the Yisrabu Biyom Tzorah Mehochen Leif, and he does not weaken and lose the least bit of focus in this hour of difficulty. Mehochen Leif, to prepare himself, Lehinotzel Katzvi Miyad, to save himself like a deer immediately, means, even if there's some time left, but he doesn't say, I'll put it off for another week. The person is possessed. Lo aleinu, I've been involved with people that had to deal with criminal investigations. They become possessed. They can't function. They're just overwhelmed, and the total focus is on the problem at hand. Lo chayim, consequently, Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Manoyalu hayetzim lefa'alosam ulevavadosam ad erev. He says how foolish people are that they go out to their work until the night. They're involved in the business straight through the Yom HaNoraim. Are we secure on what a mishpat will be? That the most cherished thing that we have is our life. And how could we not be concerned for it? And therefore he goes on to tell us, a person that is pious, his practice should be lamayit ba'asoka v'liyos rayonov nechosim, that he should cut back in his business, and he should in fact be possessed with a certain trembling and awe of the Rabbeinu Shalala. And as I mentioned, Rabbeinu Yonah here talks about Aseres Yimei Tshuva, but in Sefer HaYiro he applies this as well to the entire month of Elul. He should have fixed times, not haphazardly, but a fixed time each day and each night, this Boidei B'chadorov, to go off by himself and to consider what we've done in life, and to examine that which we've done in the past year. The Kadim Ashmeris, to rise early in the morning for Tfilas, who is Aseik B'darkei Atshuva, or to rise early to do Tshuva, the Kishron Hamasa, and to give us time for self-improvement. The Lishboch Siach, and to be Mispalo before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Lord says Tfila Varinam, or the Hapochina, to beg. V'ha'eis Eis Rotzen, particularly he's talking in Aseres Yimei Tshuva, but the Prisha tells us this is equally true in Elul as well. The time is an Eis Rotzen. V'atfila Nishmaspo, and the Tfila is most likely to be accepted at this time. Shenemar, as the Novi Nishaya tells us, V'eis Rotzen Inisicho, V'yom Yeshua Azarticho. In a time of Rotzen, Inisicho, I have answered you, V'yom Yeshua, on a day of salvation, Azarticho, I have assisted you. And particularly in Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the Novi Nishaya tells us, Dirshu Hashem behimotzo, that seek the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wherein he is near, Kra'u v'yoysa korov. Eilu asara yomim shemein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. These are the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. There's a special iskarvus, a special ability to reach the Rabbeinu Shel Olam during this time. And he ends, U'mitzvus haseim in ha-Torah l'hoyer ha-Odom, as atmo, a person, as rucho, a person should arouse himself, lachzor b'tshuva b'yom HaKippurim. The culmination of this entire period is the special mitzvah of tshuva on Yom Kippur, shenemar, v'kol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titoro. We should purify ourselves from all ha-chaton. Al kain, his yirono ha-kosov, shenetar lefnei Hashem b'tshuva seinu. The Torah has commanded us to do tshuva, so that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who wants to purify us at this time, will be able to. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam will forgive us for our sins and bring us to Torah. So he describes Rabbeinu Yonah that what we need is an elevated focus, to dedicate some time each day and each night for self-improvement, how we're going to raise ourselves in the service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Nothing gets done in this world without good planning. Every business has, on one end, an administrative arm, which oversees the day-to-day operations. But that's not enough to secure a business in the future. If a business doesn't have a good research and development arm as well, to look over the horizon, to prepare for the future, then it's rapidly going to grow. It's rapidly going to become outdated. It will be selling yesteryear's products and yesteryear's services. So, now in business, one is at times capable of dividing those responsibilities, having day-to-day operations in the hands of one group of people, and development issues in the hands of others. But what happens if it's a small business? In a small business, then a person has to be both the chief operating officer, and he has to be the research and development part too. And each one of us, we run one very small business, and that's our own lives. In our own lives, we have to be the chief operating officer, but we also have to be responsible for planning and product development. As Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, is that to properly give direction to where we ought to go, what the next move is, where perhaps we've stumbled until now, and we have to redo some of our activities, that we have to allot special time for. We cannot do it in the hustle and bustle of everything else that we have to do. Not in the hustle and bustle of our careers, and not even in the hustle and bustle of our service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Yeah, it's necessary to put aside special time outside the normal realms, set aside and devoted solely for this, so that we gain the focus that's necessary for us to gain an Elul. It's a very, very fascinating Midrash Tilum. And Mizmor Nun Aleph. Mizmor Nun Aleph is the Mizmor which David gives praise to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for the tshuva that he did, for his chatan. And David HaMelech appeals to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who is his palel, Chaneini Hashem, grant me a gift, Kichastecho, in accordance with your chesed. So the Midrash Tilum tells us, Lemohaya David Daima, to whom was David compared in this tefillah? The Mishahoyelo Maka Miyadu, a person was injured in his hand. Ruvoi Tzol Aroifei, and he comes to a doctor, a very good orthopedic surgeon, and he tells him, "Amalo yochol ato rapeini." And he says, "Can you cure me?" The surgeon examines him, and "Amalo hein, I can cure you. Aval hadom muvot, the amount of money that you have to pay me is very meager. So how can I undertake this for this price?" So the person that's ill tells him, "Listen, you take kach kol ma shaliyod. Take everything that I have, I'll pay you. Vashor asay mishalacho. And the rest, I ask you that should be your contribution to this. Vasay mi chesed, do chesed with me, v'rachem alai, and have rachman asal." David HaMelech comes before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and says, "Chaneini Hashem kichastecho." And he says the following, "Chaneini Elokim kichastecho, rachman ato, you are compassionate, ukarov rachamecha mechayv b'shoai. And in accordance with yirachamim, erase the chatoim that I've done. Harbe chesed osiso imi. You have done much chesed with me throughout my life. And now come and do chesed with me again." And he quotes the Mizmor and Tilum, "Hafle chesed Moshiach chesed imcharufu." That we're dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and thereby he provides us with the refuah. David HaMelech comes before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and he tells him, "The makkah, the chet, is enormous. And I really don't have the means of resolving this avera. All I can do is tell you, take the maximum contribution that I can make. That's all I can do. And it really is meager and insufficient. But I need to ask you that with your rachamim, you should absorb the rest." What motivates this process? So Chazal have informed us. The chayla was injured. He needs orthopedic surgery. And the surgeon tells him, the means at your disposal are too meager. So what motivates the person? The person is motivated by a sense of desperation. I can't remain where I am. It's true, I don't have the means of changing the situation, but I also know that I can't remain where I am. And that realization that we cannot remain where we are drives him to push the surgeon to accept whatever he can offer. And that's what we need as we approach the Rabbeinu Shalom and Tshuva. We have to approach the Rabbeinu Shalom and tell him, Chaneini Hashem Kichastecha. Our means are meager. We do not have the means. We can't pay the bill. But we also know we can't stay put. We cannot stay in the state that we're in. That's impossible. So all we can offer you, Rabbeinu Shalom, is what? Whatever we have, we'll give you. But we're quite aware that it's insufficient. So the rest we place in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And David HaMelech describes the process of tshuva and also the hope of tshuva in this tefillah. The process of tshuva, that we have to feel that this is a desperate need that we have. There is no other way that we can approach life other than to do tshuva. Once we understand that, then we can truly implore the Rabbeinu Shalom that we'll give everything that we have, as insufficient and as meager as it is. And the Rabbeinu Shalom's response will be that he will come to rest. Which is a very reassuring statement of David HaMelech. Tshuva is a very difficult process. Can we necessarily say that we have all the inner strengths and disciplines that are necessary to effectuate tshuva properly? It's very difficult. But yet, there's a very special siyata d'shmaya. The Rabbeinu Shalom says that if you desperately, dirshu Hashem b'imotzo, if you desperately seek me, then nothing is held back. And the Rabbeinu Shalom stands ready to respond for our impassioned call. And David HaMelech was very, very clear. He tells the Rabbeinu Shalom, Chach Omar, LaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'chol Levadcha Chatosi. Meaning, Kishat Omer LaPoshim, when you'll speak to the sinners and you'll tell them, Lo Malo Asisim Tshuva, why haven't you done Tshuva? So, Imti Kableini, David HaMelech says, if you will accept my Tshuva, K'laposhim Mashlimim L'cho Mistaklim Bi, they will all come to terms with you when they will look at David HaMelech. Did you see David HaMelech achieve Tshuva? I will in fact testify that you accept anyone that does tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about David, Eid le'umim nesativ, that I am a witness to all the nations of the world. V'loy ani b'lvad, and not only me, Ela kol Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael. If the Rabbeinu Shalom accepts us in tshuva as aidus of the efficacy of tshuva. V'cheinu oimer, atem eidai nu'um Hashem, you are my witnesses. V'avdi asher b'charti, my servant that I have chosen. So David HaMelech tells us that we can all look at David HaMelech and his process of tshuva, and his madrega was a very difficult process of tshuva. One that seemed even to David HaMelech to be overwhelming. And David HaMelech refers to himself and tells him, Ki chosid ani. Chosid is in a phenomenal madrega. In davening, we talk in the Shabbos davening about tzaddikim and chasidim. Tzaddik is a person that's mekayim all the dinim, all tayag mitzvahs. Nothing that he's not obligated to do, just what's obligatory. And that's called a tzaddik. Chosid is a person whose service is lefni meshur asadin. He mastered all the tayag mitzvahs, and his problem now is how to go lefni meshur asadin beyond what the halacha requires. David HaMelech declares before the Rabbeinu Shalom, before one's friends one could declare anything, but before the Rabbeinu Shalom he declares ki chosid ani, that he's a chosid. And yet on his madrega, on his level, he felt overwhelmed with the difficulty of tshuva. It was overwhelming. And yet, he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, when the world will observe that you've accepted me in tshuva, then everyone will be inspired to do tshuva. So this is the process that David HaMelech describes. We have to understand that there is no choice. When we understand that there's no choice, then everything becomes possible. But that takes a great deal of focus to realize that there is no other possibility, there's no alternative. The first thing that we need is a realization of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somet, of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's presence. We start the Avinu Malkeinu on the Yom Haniron. Avinu Malkeinu Chatonu Lefanecha. So what do we mean by Chatonu Lefanecha? So the Dugna Magid relates the following mashal. There was, in his time, the business world worked, that it had fairs. And today we also have them as well. I mean, they're organized, they take place in Chicago and Las Vegas, all types of conventions and fairs. And if you want to find new products to sell and enlarge your business, so you go to one of these conventions, and you find out whatever's new in your field, and then you come back and you have new ideas for the next year, and you make new contacts, and you can order new products, etc. The world hasn't changed too much, just the transportation is easier today. In those times, the transportation was very difficult. And they had in varied cities, very business fairs took place once a year, and businessmen from that entire area of Europe would come to purchase goods which were not available. They didn't have such a good distribution system. And you would purchase at the fair whatever goods that you could use, and you'd run your business an entire year based on these goods. Now, gambling has always been a blight of society. It's nothing new in today's age. And the social disruption that it causes is also significant, because if people take the money that they need to live and they lose it at the gambling table, so that becomes a socially negative consequence. So a business fair, a fair was about to take place, and there was a group of professional gamblers that lived in the city where the fair was going to take place. So the police chief calls in the chief of the gamblers and he says, "Listen, you know, a whole year I turn a blind eye to you, I don't bother you too much. But I'm telling you now, this fear, the social consequences of businessmen losing their money at your gambling tables, during the week of the fair, you're out of business. If I catch you in business, the consequences will be dire." So the fair opens, and the police chief establishes his security at the fair. And after a couple of days, one of his old constables comes and tells him, "Chief, on the other side of the fair, the gamblers have opened up a booth. And they're starting to do their thing." So the chief comes huffing and puffing. He runs across the fair. And there is the chief gambler. And the roulette table's out. The card tables are functioning. And he says to him, "You know, I'm going to close you down. I warned you not to be here." While he's remonstrating with him what's happening, the guys, his employees at the card tables, at the roulette tables, are calling out for everybody, place your bets, while the police chief is talking to him. So then the police chief really blows a fit. He says, "Bad enough that I warned you before not to do this. Now I come, and even after I come, you have the audacity, right in my presence, that you keep running the business, you don't even stop, you don't lose a step." So we come before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and we tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, "Avinu Malkeinu Chatonu Lefanecha." You know, it's one thing if the teacher went out and he did something we're not supposed to do, and he's not looking, and he comes back and he finds it. It's albatar. But what happens if the kid gets up in the middle of class and carries on right in the Rebbe's presence? So really, this is a problem of an entirely different nature. So we come before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and we tell him, "Rabbeinu Shel Olam, chatonu lefanecha." If we take a step back and we realize, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somet, that we can't hide from the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's always here. So what is Achet? Achatom. Achatom are truly audacious. The Rebbeinu Shalom is standing right here, and right in his presence we get up and we did whatever we did. So if we realize the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Shirisi, and we realize Chatonu Lefanecho, so then we have the inspiration to do tshuva. The deepest emotion almost that a person feels in life is embarrassment. More so than almost anything else. And if you study people, you will see that if a person went through an experience in life where they were deeply embarrassed, it's something that they will never forgive anyone for. And if they'll think of it 20 years later, they'll still be livid. Their face will turn red. The shame that they experienced is something they will never forget for the rest of their life. Tens of years later, they will still feel it viscerally. If we focused on Shivisi Hashem Leneg Disomed, so then we'll have a certain sense of shame with the Chaton that we've done. How did I do such a chet? The Rebbeinu Shalom is right here. If we feel that sense of busha before the Rebbeinu Shalom, then that itself will cause us to begin the process of tshuva. May the Rebbeinu Shalom grant at the very beginning of Chodesh Elul that we experience his presence and experience to some extent the busha, the humiliation that's involved in violating the Rebbeinu Shalom's tzivuyim, his commandments in his presence. And that will bring us to what David HaMelech described as Chonini Hashem Kichastecho, that in desperation we will seek out the Rebbeinu Shalom, and the Rebbeinu Shalom is guaranteed that he will answer us, that as long as we do our part of what we're capable of doing, even if it's very meager compared to the task which is necessary, the Rebbeinu Shalom himself will give us the siyata d'shmaya to be able to complete the task. Thank you.